and welcome to
You Haven't Seen.
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley.
This is a podcast where we watch movies that everyone has seen but us and then talk about them. And today we are watching a movie that neither of us have seen, and we are watching Clerks.
Clerks. Kevin Smith's first film.
Yes. Yes, it was. That's one of the few things I know about it. And it was, this is an hour 32, released in 1994, rated R. A day in the lives of two convenience clerks named Dante and Randall.
Dante.
That, oh god, I knew that. Because the other thing I know about this is it's structured after the Nine Circles of Hell.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. This is like, I know that there's title cards in it structured after Nine Circles of Hell. I know it's black and white. I know that it's a comedy.
I didn't know it was black
Kevin
and white.
Kevin Smith's first, like, surprise success.
Knew that.
Oh, okay. All right, okay, but anyway.
Oh, sorry.
So, day in the lives of these two clerks as they annoy customers, discuss movies, and play hockey on the store roof, is the IMDb line.
Written and written by Kevin Smith.
Yeah, and I know that, this is the movie that, they shot this on, like, a shoestring budget.
Yeah.
And that's actually the reason why I know it wasn't black and white is because the lighting they used was so, the colors didn't match, so they shot it, like, it's black and white because of the production problems and stuff. Yeah, so that it would look the same. And this kind of, like, made his career. It was a surprise success.
Yeah, I mean, that's really all I know about it.
Mm-hmm. It's like a cult favorite.
That's the thing, it's a cult favorite. I don't really know much, but it's been one of those movies where, this has been another one of those movies where I feel like it's more of a chore to get around to watching it. Like, it's
really?
One of those where it's like, oh, I gotta watch this. Like,
oh, see?
I'm like, oh, I should watch this. Like, I feel like there is a gap missing because I'm not a huge Kevin Smith fan.
No, me neither.
Like, I haven't seen a lot of the films. Mm-mm. Or if I have, I don't finish them.
I actually haven't seen most of the stuff he's made.
Yeah.
But this is one I hear people, like, reference.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
It has a lot of famous fans who are like, this is really good. And I'm like, I like you, I trust your opinion. Or a lot of my friends are like, I like Clerks. And I'm like, I trust your opinion, but I still just never get around to it.
Having read the little tagline summary, I'm like, this sounds like something I like, you know?
I'm all about hockey.
No, I'm just all about the, like,
annoying customers?
No, just, because I've never been a store clerk or anything like that, but I have worked in a gym. And just, like, weird things happen. You know, you're working a boring job, you don't do a lot, and just people are weird. And so you just end up having the most bizarre conversation. So based on that premise, I'm like, this is just, I think, open for opportunity to be funny.
Yeah.
And so I am looking forward to watching this.
Cool.
Yeah.
Should we do taglines?
Yes. Just because they serve you doesn't mean they like you, which is accurate.
It's more of a statement, less of a tagline.
Yep.
A very funny look at the over-the-counter culture.
I'm not even supposed to be here today. That's Dante. Again, I'm assuming they're like New York, which that was a terrible accent. But I was like, that's for some reason because I didn't speak it. But when I read this, I'm not even supposed to be here today. The voice I read in was like, I'm not even supposed to be here today. Like, why do I just? I can't.
I thought when you're like, you're just like, it's like New York. I was like, oh, did a film named New York have taglines like this?
No. I just, the voice in my head that read it was Robert De Niro. And I was just like, why did that jump in there? Because I know that that's not him. But anyway.
Clerks. This job sucks.
Yeah. Clerks. It delivers.
That sucks.
Which is a weird one. Okay, so let's watch this.
Let's do this.
Yep. Okay. And we're back.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, so we'll just do the brief summary and then we'll get into it. Like, we summarized it in the first. It's a day in the life of these two clerks. That's what it is. Two guys, this is their day. They're terrible at their jobs.
One's not.
The guy at the video store
Randall.
Is terrible at his. Yeah, Randall is bad at his job and Dante is good at his job. He's just like, man, worse. He's a pushover.
He's a pushover.
Yeah, he's a pushover.
He's in a no good, terrible,
stupid.
Rotten day.
Yeah, he's just good. He's not even supposed to be working there that day. He's not even supposed to be there. It's a like, oh, everything just sucks. Oh, isn't his life the worst? I mean, he's very self-deprecating, I think. Good intentions, huge man child, I think, as
oh,
well.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I had a hard time. They kept saying he was 23.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you don't look 23.
No, but I know 23-year-olds who look like he does.
That's the thing. No, it makes sense, but I was like, really?
Yeah.
Like, I needed that a little earlier in the plot.
But it's like, he didn't go to college. He's been working at this convenience store, I guess, since high school. Like, basically, it's Arrested Development.
Right.
You know? He just hasn't changed since high school.
In the town he grew up in.
In the town he grew up in. Is hung up on his high school girlfriend.
Yeah. Lives with his mom.
Lives with his mom. Yeah. It's a huge case of...
Yeah. Definitely. I was just like, oh, okay, that's how old you're supposed to be. I was picturing it more later. So I was like, oh, that okay, that explains a little bit more.
Yeah. But I did not realize that it was going to be quite as vulgar as it was.
I assumed.
I mean, I saw, like, the rated R and it's a comedy, so I was like, oh, there's going to be some curse words, there's going to be some sexual jokes, but did not expect sleeping with a dead person.
That was weird.
I was like,
so,
because I know that she was like, oh, that was so, okay, so this is at the end, his high, after he, there's this whole, like, again, a romantic triangle between the girl he's dating now and then his high school girlfriend who's engaged to be married.
Caitlin.
The Caitlin is the high school girlfriend, right?
Yes.
And who's the current girlfriend?
Veronica.
Yeah, so Dante is dating Veronica, who is, like, a good person. She transferred schools. She likes to help people. She likes to fix people. And it's like, people, you can't change people. They have to want to change, Veronica. You can't, like, no. I wanted to give her a talking to and be like, you seem like you've got your life together and this guy's dragging you down.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was like, this is just weird.
She brought him lunch.
Yeah.
She goes, hey, I brought you lunch. And she goes, what is it? And she goes, what do you think it is? Lasagna. Never would I ever have expected the answer to that to be lasagna. Who brings people lasagna for lunch?
True, that was weird.
Because her, I'm using air quotes here, sarcastic answer was like, oh, it's a PB&J. Psh, no, that would be ridiculous to bring someone a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch.
To be fair, though.
Of course not, crazy.
Right. To be fair, though, if you bring your significant other lunch, sure as hell better be something other than a sandwich.
I guess. I don't know. But just the fact... What do you think it is, silly? That's not the obvious answer here.
There were so many times in this movie where I was like, oh, this is the joke. And then I would be like, no, that joke never happened.
It was a different type of comedy than what I was expecting.
Yeah. I mean, what did you think overall?
Overall, I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. There was times where... Because there are these title cards, you know, between them... So it's more of, like, kind of just a series. It's, okay, I'm not comparing Monty Python and this movie, but what I'm saying is in some Monty Python movies, it's less of an overarching story and more of a series of sketches.
Oh, no, 100%. Yeah. It's a series of vignettes.
Yes. Like, and so I was like, these vignettes were all tied together because they were all the same day, but it was still more of that structure. So I like some of them better than others.
Yes.
But overall, I did like it because also the dialogue was a lot better written than what I was expecting. Especially whenever Randall and Dante were having, like, their big, long, philosophical conversations.
Yeah.
And they did these really long takes.
Yeah.
I was very impressed by that. And just the fact that this was shot on such a low budget and stuff. Like, I was not expecting it to be like this, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I did really like when they had the whole thing of people asking stupid questions.
That was hilarious.
That was because there wasn't a whole lot of camera movement or editing, but there was two cases that I remember specifically where I thought, oh, this is funny. And one of them was when it was the girl standing in front of a sign saying the answer to her question.
How much money is this?
And the zoom out. And just things like that, because that was funny, just in terms of visual comedy. Because also, I've volunteered for conventions before, and the amount of times that someone has been standing, or I've been standing, directly in front of the answer to their question, if only they would bother to read it.
Right, that's the thing.
it's, I mean, so I thought that was funny. And then the second camera movement thing was when Dante and Randall are in the car driving to that funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going back and forth between them. I thought that was hilarious.
I did like that.
So there was a lot of things in this that I thought were really, really funny.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of things I didn't think were funny at all. It was very hit or miss.
Yeah.
So also, like, just, like, going back to the sex with the dead person, I was like, that, surely you would notice.
Yeah, that was, like, so weird.
That was very weird. Because I was wondering, because we saw that guy go into the bathroom with the porn magazines.
Right.
And then nothing ever happened from it.
No.
So I was wondering when he would show up again.
See, I just thought he left. But then, like, as soon as she was, like...
Oh, it was, well, in the bathroom.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, well, the only guy it could be would be that, like, weird dude.
Yeah.
The fact that he was dead, like, I did not see that coming. But no. I also don't know why she would be so stupid. Because the door didn't open, so he would have already had to be in there. So he would have had to, like, leave.
Yeah.
Like, the logistics, I'm like, how would you
Which,
think-
also, he obviously didn't lock the door.
No.
In the bathroom, so he was just masturbating in an unlocked bathroom where anyone could have walked in. But my notes for this is, WTF is she doing? Oh my god, the old guy. Oh my god. Oh my god, oh my god. And then all cats. Oh my god! Oh my god, did she sleep with a dead person? And there's 7 question marks. And then in all caps, OMFG, like 7 times, she did! So I was like, so clearly I was losing my mind as I was watching it.
Apparently.
And then, then I have damn straight, she's gonna need years of therapy.
Yeah.
Which, I'm not wrong. Yeah, okay, so sorry, let's circle back and get some structure here. What did... Because, okay, have you ever worked a service industry job, Ashley?
I've worked front of house a couple times.
Okay.
And I worked at a theme park.
All right. So you've been in situations where people ask questions.
Yes.
Yeah. And I guess I worked at a gym where I got asked a lot of stupid questions. And I've volunteered at conventions where, again...
Yeah.
I mean... But, like, there's no such thing as a stupid question. There is. Only when the answer is glaringly obvious.
Right.
Was there anything, based on your past work experience, was there anything about this movie that you thought was funny?
Yeah, I mean, I guess... Yeah, I mean, that whole sequence where they were, like, doing the montage of, like, stupid questions, which was, like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I just didn't... I went in with very low expectations for this film. I'm not a huge Kevin Smith fan.
Okay.
I had very low expectations. And some of the vignettes I thought were hilarious, and I enjoyed them. Other ones, I was just like...
What is happening?
Right, and I also felt it was a little bit slow-paced at times, I was definitely, like, on my phone. Like, it was definitely, like, there was a lot of times where I was like... Because I don't like getting on my phone while I'm watching the movie.
Okay.
Like, I definitely am like... I'm sitting down to watch this. I'm going to watch this and take notes.
Because I think this, a lot of the comedy in it was the drawn out aspect to it.
Yeah.
And that just, it works for some jokes better than this for others. And honestly, it works for some people better than this for others.
Right.
Because, and again, some of these little sketches, I was watching actively the entire time.
Yeah.
And some I just wasn't on board with.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely wrote down, like, times where I was like, okay, that made me laugh. Like, I actually had to write that down because I was like
this is
like very
funny.
Rarely was I like laughing out loud. It was a lot of like, oh, this is interesting. Like, oh, this is interesting. And then there were others where I was like, what the hell?
Yeah. One thing that made me laugh because there were some good music choices in this
that
I really liked.
Soundtrack's amazing.
And the funniest, like, when they were talking about Star Wars. Randall's Star Wars thoughts.
Randall's Star Wars thoughts.
On board and like, yes, yes, the entire time. And then just in the background you hear, Chewbacca!
Oh, I didn't notice
Chewie. That. Yeah, it was, because the music, they just, because it was about halfway through the scene that I actually the Chewbacca came during a pause in the conversation. And then I rewound a little bit, and I was like, oh my god!
Oh yeah, I didn't notice that. I'm going to have to listen to that again.
Screaming about Star Wars. But so I kind of liked whenever Randall went off on a philosophical
That's the thing. Rant. I liked Randall a lot more than I liked Dante.
Yeah. And also, Dante, like, we're not supposed to, he's not like, oh, he's not, we're on this guy's side, you right. know? It's supposed to be, like, he is exactly the character he is, you know? Yes. But I was, because I was just so annoyed with Dante as well. But, and then again, I get annoyed with people who are like that. So obviously I'm going to be annoyed with this character. I'm right. feeling exactly how I'm supposed to feel towards this guy. But, and Randall's smart.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, but just a terrible person. When he was talking to that woman who was asking, like, is this good? And he's reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
And then
he's like,
you weren't even listening. Like, well, is this one good? It's the same movie. You weren't even listening. And then his answer was, do you feel better now? Like, well, because you were obviously asking me, so you could trick me, and therefore feel superior. So, how does it feel? I was like, oh, Randall, how are you still in business?
Right. That's the thing, yeah.
How are they? How is anyone still in business?
That's the thing, like, it felt like he was never in the video store.
No. People, yeah. He kept chasing away all of the customers. When he was ordering all of those pornos on the phone in front of the kid. Yes. Like, and what was that again? And it was like Piggly Wiggly's Playhouse.
Right, it was like Magical Ponies or something.
Yeah.
But the thing is, speaking of the comic timing, I do think there was a lot of good cut jokes.
Yes.
A lot of good jokes where you were like, but I also, it kind of reminded me of, like, it was very rhythmic in yes. terms of the jokes.
Yeah.
But
you knew if something happened, and it was like, well, this is going to happen two more times before it moves on. Right. You know?
So, I did find that. I really did like those cut jokes. Mm-hmm. It kind of is a cheap laugh, but I appreciate it.
I like it.
That's the
yeah.
thing.
Well, and because it's the rule of threes, it kept coming back.
Yeah.
And they tell you that when you're learning about writing. It's like comedy, it's funny in threes.
Yeah.
You know what? It is funny in threes.
It is.
There's a reason for the rule. And even when you knew, specifically, what I'm thinking of when the guy was asking about, oh, can I go in the bathroom and do this?
Yeah.
And he came up to the counter and then walked away. And then the second I saw him start to come back, I was like, oh, he's going to ask one question, going to go away, yeah, going to come back one more time, and then he's going to leave. And even knowing that, I yeah. still liked it.
That's the thing.
Yeah. You know?
Mine was the, when they go to the funeral and they close the store, and they're like, who's going to come to the store at 4? And then you cut to everyone's like, bam.
Yeah, was like, that was funny.
Oh, I did like that. And then 4 minutes later, they're in the car running away.
Yeah, that was funny.
I love the funeral sequence.
I like the funeral one, too. Oh, well, because it was the car thing.
Yeah.
The car, the camera movement that I liked. And just as like, they were running out, I just thought, how could they have possibly managed to screw this up this badly in 4 minutes?
That's the thing. And what I
could
was
have,
like,
right. What could they have done?
But that's the thing. They don't let you know
for a while. And I kind of like that. Because at first I thought, oh my gosh, we're just never going to find out.
No.
And I was 100% okay with it.
Oh, I'm kind of sad that they told me.
Well, because when we did find out, like, that's better than what I was expecting. Oh. Was not expecting for them to, like, fling the body across the room. I was just expecting, like, oh, you know, an ex was there or something like that. Right. I thought it was going to be one of their weird relationship dramas. But so the fact that they knocked the coffin over, I was like, yep.
And you, she rolled out of the coffin.
Yes, you up the ante here, sir. Acceptable. But I really liked how much they just didn't tell you at first. But,
yeah.
Yeah, no, they just, they screwed up and you all believe that they did. So that's all we need to know. Can we talk a little bit about the hockey on the roof?
Yes. I was very disappointed.
Why?
I thought they were going to, because he was like, how flexible are you? And I thought, or he says something like,
like, can we practice anywhere else?
Right. And I thought they were going to play in the store in the aisles.
I thought they were too. And then, like, oh, on the roof? Like,
That's the...
just wasn't ex- like I wasn't expecting
that. I really thought they were gonna play in the store, and I really excited. And then when it was on the roof, I was still like, "Oh, this is cool."
Like that's still really weird. Because heaven forbid they play in the parking lot.
But there was no parking lot. That's true.
It was a very short. It wasn't any bigger than the roof. There was enough space to walk around. But
with cars though.
I guess.
Because it seemed like one of those parking lots where it was like this.
I wasn't expecting them to be playing with the ball though. Because you can play street hockey with a puck.
Oh, it doesn't work very well, though.
Oh, see,
you play with balls.
In our gym class, we played it with a puck.
See, when we play on the street in front of our house.
Yeah, we play it with a ball.
We play with a ball. Because the puck, it would get stuck on, like, gravel, so it couldn't flow as well.
See, we would always play on the blacktop, so that was an issue. When we played broom ball, it was with balls. But
no, we play...
Street hockey was with a puck.
We play street hockey. We also got in trouble because we shot a puck at my sister's head. And hit the target.
Oh.
So my mom was like, why don't we start using balls? And you can really get a good slap shot on a ball than you can on a ball.
That is true.
So if you're trying to murder other
school children. Then again, we played this in gym class. And it wasn't like the oversized plastic pucks. It wasn't like a normal pocky.
Oh, yeah.
Pocky puck.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So wasn't expecting the roof. And I was really... I liked when the guy climbed up and was annoyed and then goes, you're playing it wrong. Right.
How quickly it went from, oh, we're going to just have a conversation to like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah. And just to show you how wrong you are, I'm going to knock your ball away.
That was such a dick move. I was so mad.
What a jerk.
But I also like that no one brought another ball.
Yeah. Which is typical.
Typical.
Yeah. And honestly, until... they all came over until he mentioned, like, can we play hockey anywhere else? I really thought he meant ice hockey.
I did, too.
Yeah. Did not realize he just meant street hockey. I thought it was ice hockey.
I really thought it meant ice hockey, too, because I was like, oh, he has a game. So, like, he has to go.
Yeah, he has a game.
But if I was like, wait, like, you're not playing a game. Yeah. You're just, like, a group of guys who, like, meet out front. This is, like,
your book club.
Right.
Essentially, is the level of commitment this is.
Yeah.
You want to go, but if you can't, that's fine. There'll be another one next week.
Right. Like, it was so... I don't know... Yeah, I don't know if that was intentional. I mean, I guess if it wasn't ice hockey, there's no way they could have gone.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, with the street hockey, I was just like, oh, this is... I mean, I guess... My brother played on a roller hockey league for a while.
Oh, okay.
Like, when he was starting off.
Yeah.
And that was played, like, in, like, a big arena kind of thing.
Yeah, but again, in a rink.
Yeah. But I don't know why, but, yeah, that was weird.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed more like a bunch of dudes hanging out.
I just remembered another thing that I thought was really, really funny was when Randall walks in and Dante's just, like, has his hand, like, is just staring at something on the counter and he just goes, shh. This guy's touching all the eggs. And then he's just watching him. I thought that was hilarious. Because the thing is, it's not even like I related to it. Like, the questions thing was funny because it was funny and it was well told visually.
Yeah.
But then I also related to it. This was funny just because I thought, yeah, man, if that was happening, I would be like, shush, shush, shush. This is the most interesting thing that's happened all day. Like, this is weird. People are weird. Man. I don't know. People are weird. I thought that was funny. When it reminded me of that little M&M thing. That you've seen the picture on the internet. That's like, whenever I have a bag of M&Ms, I find the champion.
Yeah.
That's what this man was doing with the eggs.
I was like, oh, interesting. And then when the girl came up, I was like, oh, that's a guidance counselor. It happens to all of them. I was like...
because they go crazy.
That's the thing. I felt like... some of the vignettes, and I don't know if this is where, some of the vignettes would be end of chapters, and they would just be like, boom, we're done, moving on. And it would take me a moment where, like, this was, like, it ended on such a weird joke. And it ended
that,
on...
that was the woman saying that she manually stimulates animals, right? Yeah. I think that was his mom, Kevin Smith's mother in real life. According to the trivia on IMDb. So.
But yeah, it just ended on such a weird joke and also like a weird kind of political thing where it was like, well, yeah, guidance counselors are crap. And I was like, well, yeah, they are.
But, like, not always.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it is kind of a joke job.
Well, because I think part of the reason for that was because she's talking to people who haven't progressed since high school.
Yeah.
So for them, like, I think that it's more just in the context of, like, oh, you could always blame the guidance counselor for why they haven't done anything in life because they weren't given structure and they weren't encouraged and they weren't advised.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like you also have to have enough self-autonomy to, like, move your life forward if you want it to do so.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought that when they were talking about when she was saying, like, oh, yeah, guidance counselors are crazy because, like, their jobs are worthless. And I was like, surely you must, if I was a guidance counselor and I had been the guidance counselor for Dante or Randall, I would feel like I had failed somewhere there. You know, part of me would have been like, wow, I didn't do something of my job.
Yeah.
Because these two guys are just, I don't know. But then again, Randall's perfectly happy to be in the situation he is. So if you don't, like, want things to change, they don't.
Yeah.
But, so that's what I thought that the point that was being made.
Oh, not serious, but it was just like, oh, we're going to make a statement and then end on, like, not a very good joke.
Or that's why I manually stimulate animals.
Like, that's the thing. Like, it just felt like a broomch. And then to move on, I was like, all right. And then it just took a little bit while to get into a chapter. Mm. And that, I think that was, I just kept going in and out.
Well, I wanted to hear, because it raised the question when she said that. Because she was like, oh, you know, you need your job to have meaning, which is why I do this obscure thing. And then it ended. And I was like, but why do you think that's meaningful?
Because she gives life.
I don't know. I was just, because when it ended, again, I was like, wait, what, that's the end? And I was like, I have questions for this woman. Where it's like, why do you feel like you have a higher calling here? But, yeah, so, like, that was more of what I was thinking when it ended. I was like, wait, no. This requires some explanation.
They did a whole thing in Blackfish about jerking the whales off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
Whatever. I mean, that joke's been, I've seen other things with, like, the same joke before.
It just felt,
Oh, shoot, I had another question for you. What did you think was the funniest, like, customer interaction?
I'm looking through my notes. Okay. What did you think?
Well, there was a couple, like, honestly, my favorite customer thing was, like, the three people asking the stupid questions. Mm-hmm. But I did enjoy just Dante's reaction to the Eggman. Mm-hmm. And I thought the smoker thing was kind of funny.
I did like the smoker thing.
Yeah. Just the fact that he had the lung in his bag. Like, because, I mean, already the premise is ridiculous of, like, this guy is going to go and try to get people to buy this gum.
I did see that coming, though.
You did?
I did. Because I was he works for the gum company. Otherwise, why would you be doing this? Like,
I thought he was just some, like, anti-tobacco political thing. I didn't think that he was going to be for the gum company.
I do remember, like, seeing those. Like, that was a big thing in 94.
I was 3.
They were everywhere. I just remember, like, oh, they were on TV.
Oh, see, like, awesome. Again, you would remember that happening. I do not.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I kept telling myself, I was like, oh, God, I remember that. And people would, like, I just remember being a kid. And
wait, so what was the big thing? Explain it.
Oh, it was just, it got so graphic.
Oh,
so
the pictures just, on the cigarettes?
And
well, that's the thing. I think in England they have the pictures.
Yeah, but they were trying to, this is when they were campaigning to get that.
Oh, and it was just in 94, in America, they were campaigning to get...
I just remember it being, like, they were putting ads on TV that were, like, really gross ads. Okay. And they were doing, like, picture spreads and stuff. And they were just being so in your face about smoking kills.
Okay.
I don't know if there was any reason to it, but I just remember, like, all these ads were just, like, close-ups of livers
and
throats and, like, all these ads were just, like, put out chemicals and they were, like, these chemicals that all of these kill you and they're in your cigarette.
It reminded me of when I was in high school, the state of Illinois paid for some really terrifying don't do meth commercials.
Oh, yeah.
And did you see the one where it was like this girl in the shower and she looks down and there's blood and she turns around and huddled up in the corner?
Yes.
Like, the girl, like, where, and she's just crying going, don't do it. And I just remember going into high school and everyone being like, holy crap, did you, like, that's terrifying, but that's a different kind of shock.
Yeah, there's...
Than just being like, your throat could look like this. It's a completely different shock tactic.
That's the thing.
Because I think people see too many gory things now.
Well, yeah, I just remember, like, my mom just being like, this is disgusting. Like, yeah. I remember that was the outrage, was that they were so graphic.
Yeah.
Whereas now, like, the meth ones that in Arizona that were shown were, like, I remember one where, like, she, like, touched her face and just peeled off pieces of her skin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, Arizona we didn't, has a big meth
it's
problem.
Like, yeah.
They we were did, going more
Illinois did, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nationwide.
Shoot, where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, now the cigarettes just have the big... warning on yeah. the side, right? Just the words.
Yeah.
Not the pictures.
No.
Yeah. I did think it was funny how he had, like, the entire crowd of people around him be like, oh, gee, guess I'll take the gum. But that was the opening one, right?
Yeah.
That was a good one to open on,
that's the thing. I like that was one we opened on. I also like that it already showed Veronica being, like, this badass.
Yeah.
Like, her first moment is, like, grabbing the fire extinguisher and, like, pelting yeah. all of them, which was like, yay.
Veronica, I'm so glad that... Because what I was worried was going to happen was Dante was going to realize, oh my gosh, I love Veronica! And then just get back together with her and forget the old girlfriend and be happy. And I was like, Veronica deserves better. She loves Dante, and I guess Dante loves her now, but she deserves better. Dante can get his life together and then try to win her back or something, yeah. you know. But I was glad that they didn't end up together.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on with the high school girlfriend though. What was her name?
Caitlin. I think they were trying to make it seem like she was a sex addict.
Well, no, that's not what I was talking about. Oh. I think they were trying to make her seem like she was a very sexual person. But I just didn't understand why she even came back for Dante.
Yeah, I thought that was... I felt like it was... I don't know. At first, I thought she didn't come back for Dante. That she was just lying. And she was actually...
Yeah, because she said that at first.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, she was actually... But, like, she was still gonna get married.
Yeah.
And was just playing with his heart even more.
Yeah.
And then...
She's going on a date with him.
Right, like, then it kind of seemed like, oh, these two do like each other, mm-hmm. and, like, there seemed to be some kind of warmth and chemistry, whereas I feel like with Veronica, it was mm-hmm. more nurturing.
Yes, she was very much, I think, mothering him.
And he was, like, painting her nails.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a lot of, like, it was comfortable.
Yeah. I did think, I don't know how much I even want to talk about this, but I did think that, because just, in terms of getting the idea very quickly that these people were mentally stuck in high school, the conversation about the level of intimacy between sex and blowjobs is something I remember, like, being a topic of conversation in high school. So the second they started talking about that, just that was for me where I was like, oh, I instantly know where you guys are at, you know, maturity-wise, you are definitely still stuck in high school. And that was just so weird because I was like, this is extremely bizarre. But this is a conversation. I remember it was on the volleyball bus. I did not have a boyfriend all through high school, so it's like I had nothing to contribute to this conversation. But I just remember the other girls talking about, like, you know, who had done what. I think there was, like, a 10 questions, like, that finger game involved at some point. But... And then it got into the conversation of, like, you know, some people had just had sex but not given blowjobs and the other way around. And so then it sparked this huge debate where they're like, no, this is a bigger deal. And so I just thought it was really funny to see these two 20-something men talking about something that I had experienced as a 15-year-old girl watching a conversation between other 15-year-old girls. So I was very much... I thought it was funny just because... It gave me a very good idea of where they were at, just life-wise. There's 15-year-old girls.
100%.
Yeah, 100%.
No, their fight at the end, that was a 15-year-old girl fight.
Yeah, it was.
I was like, this is the worst fight I've ever seen.
Yeah. And then the aftermath of it, when Dante and Randall were, like, sitting and he was eating salsa and stuff.
Yeah.
That salsa was disgusting. Oh, wait, no.
The salsa was before.
Salsa was before.
That was at Lamentation.
Yes. Yeah.
That was the Jaws thing, which I...
Yes.
That
salsa looks so gross.
It did look gross. But that was a moment that I actually wrote down. This actually made me laugh when he was like, you know what the real problem is? I was born. I don't know why. I was just like...
Yes.
But I loved Randall's pep talk. I thought it was really good where he was
some good things. Well, you're talking about the one where he was saying, like, listen, I'm happy with this.
Right, that's
like, you're not. The reason you keep complaining so much is because you're not happy with this, so maybe you should do something about that. That's when I was like, oh, Randall's smart.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when he was talking about Star Wars, I was like, right on. But it wasn't, like, Randall actually, you know.
Yeah.
I think he has a very,
I'm
trying to think about his worldview.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he has a very clear worldview. He doesn't really have any, like, illusions of grandeur or anything at all. But I do think he kind of does have this, like, inflated self-importance a little bit.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, he told Veronica about Caitlin.
Yeah.
Without Dante's permission.
Yes. Yes.
And that's... He's
screwing Dante over.
Well, I think he is, but at the same time, I was like, he's doing this because he knows Dante won't, and he, like, someone needs to do this. But I also thought it was something where he was like...
He could have done it better and nicer.
He also could have said, like, I'm telling her, given an ultimatum.
Yes. Yes, he could have, instead of just doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I also, like, because Jay and Silent Bob were there.
Yeah.
Who I didn't know, I know those characters. So I was like, oh, Jay and Silent Bob.
Silent Bob is a...
Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
I do like the fact that Randall and Dante keep yelling at them for selling drugs outside the store.
Yeah.
Because I felt like by both of them yelling about the drug thing, it makes them, you don't think they're stoners. Because you're like, those are the two stoners outside. These are two guys who aren't educated.
I mean, they don't have higher education. Right. But it's like, they completed school.
Right. These are two smart guys hanging out who just have arrested development.
Yes.
They're not, once did I think...
Oh, like, they're on, you know, they're stoned.
This is a stoner comedy.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, no, the stoners
are
outside.
That's true,
and I did appreciate that, because I'm not a huge fan of, like, when it's like, oh, we're just going to be, like, stoners. Like,
no, because it's like, that's not funny.
No.
And then I think...
And, like, the whole Star Wars conversation, that's a moment where I was like, no, they actually, like, this is an actual conversation you have with friends at a bar.
Yes, it is. And so, like, they're actually talking to each other, and then later we moved into the pep talk... I appreciate it. I was like, oh, this isn't a stoner people having deep thoughts. This is people just being like, hey, this is what I think.
Right.
But
I felt like without Jay and Silent Bob, it wouldn't have... You could have said, like,
you
oh, these
needed
are two,
to
like...
draw the line.
Right.
Yeah. I did like that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, they smoke. Well, I don't think those guys smoke. They sell enough cigarettes, but...
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, and it wouldn't surprise me if the two of them, like, you know, did smoke weed and stuff. They just weren't that day. They were sober, you know?
Or when they're at work, they're sober.
Yeah.
So.
Because at least Randall doesn't do his job, so at least he's not on anything.
But I appreciated that so much, because I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're not going to mind this for jokes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that was good. What else? There was so much crammed into this movie.
Silent, the dancing?
Yeah.
When they were dancing outside? Silent Bob dancing was a beautiful shot.
It was
so beautiful.
That was a good one. I like that. I think that's everything I wanted to say. Hold on, let me go through my notes again. This might be a short episode.
Oh, the hand stuck in the Pringles I thought was funny.
That was funny.
I like Bodega Cat. This is just another one of those cut jokes.
Yeah.
When Dante chased after Veronica and was like trying to suck any dicks in the parking lot, and then the customer who's walking in turns around and walks.
It's like, don't go. Right. Come back here.
I did. I was like, oh, I like those jokes.
Yeah. Oh, I liked when Randall was like, we should go to this funeral. And Dante's like, but you hate people. But I love gatherings. Right. Isn't it ironic? I thought that was funny. I was like, all right.
What do you think about the paradigm when the trainer dude comes in?
Oh, I didn't like that whole thing.
That was weird. But that's also when Dante gets the $500.
Yeah. And he wasn't even there. But I don't know. I didn't, that wasn't my favorite thing. I don't really have anything to say about it. I just
wanna... Oh, okay. So I wrote down about Caitlin choosing Dante. I like this relationship, but not, but yes.
That's the thing. It's like, I liked when they were talking together. Let's go. These two obviously, you know, care for each other and why not, but I didn't like it that it was happening. Oh, when Randall was telling Dante, like, you just need to let these things out, it reminded me, Hank Green did, like, a rant video.
Oh.
And where it was just like, I'm going to do as many rants as I can in this amount of time. Like, Keiko! And it was really stupid things like headphones getting tangled or like...
Right.
Oh, I see you're turning. If only there was a way for you to signal that you intended to do so. Like, just a bunch of things like that. And it, I thought it was really funny. And at the end, he was sitting there and he goes, I feel worse. And it is something I have thought of before because, like, ranting does help, but I think immediately after the rant, you need to then decide to, like, change something.
Right.
But if you're just complaining about things that you can't change,
yeah.
I'm like, it's always so much more frustrating to rant because then it's like, yes, this all sucks and we can't do anything about it.
Right.
So I thought that was my one, in terms of Randall's, like, philosophical advice, that was the one I was like, okay, yes, but if Dante's going to complain about this, then he needs to start doing something. But
yeah.
Then Randall brought that up later, but just in the first conversation where he was like, you need to let it out. I'm sitting here like, he doesn't. He should not let it out.
Yeah.
Because it'll just make you feel really shitty. Yeah, that's all. That's everything I have to say then.
So... do you think anything changes after this day?
I think that... I don't think he wakes up the next day and changes his life. But, I don't think anything changes in Randall's life. I think maybe Dante starts, like, taking a class during nights or something. I think he kind of slowly evolves into something else. I don't think there's any drastic...
Yeah.
This isn't, like, sharp left turns in his life, because that's just not his style, and honestly he probably can't afford it. He's got to pay that ticket.
True.
But yeah, I think he's either gonna start to slowly get better or just start to slowly get worse.
Yeah
because he doesn't have Lasagna Girl anymore.
That's
to baby
thing.
He doesn't have anyone to baby him anymore.
Right. I feel like there might be one big grand gesture.
Oh really?
And then if that doesn't work,
I think that
coffee on the roof.
Yeah, I don't know.
I also feel like Randall's smart. I feel like Randall.
I feel like once Randall is bored with his life,
yeah,
he's the one who will say, you know what, I'm not happy anymore. Change.
Yeah.
You know, once the second Randall isn't happy, he's gonna quit his job and do something else. But I feel like Dante is probably going to muddle around in the store longer, taking like. I feel like he probably will, like if he goes back to school, it's going to take him, like, 7 years to get a degree or something, because he's going to be taking, like, one class at a time or at night. So, like, I feel like he will evolve very slowly,
mm-hmm.
but I think that he will evolve. Interesting. Whereas Randall, I think, is going to, like, you know, wait and then do a run-up. You know, I think that they'll end up being in different places in their life at the same time. I just think Randall will complete all this in a year, whereas Dante will take, like, 10 years. What I think.
I think that's good to think.
Yep. Okay. So what do you need to know about this to pretend like you've seen it?
This is one of those, I think, you kind of have to see it. I mean, I guess to make, the way I've gotten through it is I'm like, that's Kevin Smith's first film.
Yeah. I think you should know that. Because it was a surprise. I mean, this, I looked it up on IMDb. This was shot for less than $30,000.
Wow.
Already that's a small budget, and that's with, you know, like, and this was in 94.
Yeah.
And then Miramax, I think, distributed it.
Yeah,
like, this was literally a surprise hit overnight, you know, success.
Yeah.
I
think I remember seeing the posters for this.
That is encouraging, just as, like, a filmmaker, because everyone's always saying, you know, just go make a thing.
Yeah.
And this is an example where it's like, yeah, look, this guy made a thing.
Yeah.
I think that's Chris Hardwick who says that. But he said it about the podcast. But, like, it holds true, where it's like, this guy wanted to make movies, so he just made one.
Yeah.
And then, hey, it turned out great for him. So I think you do need to know that. There are 9 vignettes, I guess you would say, right? I thought 13. There were 9. Oh, maybe there's more. Okay, never mind. I guess we shouldn't do that one.
But that's the thing. I read it on the IMDb thing when they were, like, loosely based off Divine Comedy. And yeah. I was like, I kind of see it, but, like, I kind of don't.
I don't know anything about, as you said, the Divine Comedy, so I guess, like,
I've read it.
No, well, because I was thinking, like, if I was, as I was watching this, I was like, I kind of wish I had read.
It would be very loose. It's more just.
Well, that is one thing I've used to pretend like I've seen this, though, so I guess, feel like we should include it.
Alright. I guess that does kind of make sense, because I should have said this earlier, okay. But Dante is a character in the book.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay.
What's the third one?
Black and white?
I think that's like, you need to know it. It's like, do we, maybe just the, like, this is a day in the life of two clerks. Okay. You know?
Yeah. A day in the life.
Specifically, like, this is just one day. I really thought it was more than a day before we watched this.
Yeah, I did too.
Isn't there some Ryan Reynolds movie where he's also working somewhere, like, a behind the... I'll cut this.
There's some movie where he's, like, the customer service movie.
Yeah.
Where he's a waiter.
Yeah, he's a waiter. Okay, got it. I guess there's that one, the Be Kind, Please Rewind, where they're in the video store. Yeah. Video stores aren't a thing anymore.
Nope.
Even, like, you can't really rent a lot of DVDs places. Nope. There's those red boxes.
Just red boxes.
Yeah.
And
the internet.
And apparently there's Clerks 2.
Oh! I kind of wish that hadn't happened. I think this stands so well on its own, you know? Whatever.
Who knows what happens? I couldn't tell. I was looking into it.
In Clerks 2?
I just was reading something that was, like, trying to... Because it's the... Oh, what's he call this trilogy? Is it the
same characters?
It's the same characters, but Kevin Smith calls his trilogy something, which I thought was...
Oh, shoot.
And it was a weird name where I was like, this is one of those...
I did look this up.
Asking Universe? View Asking... What's that word?
It says View Ask...
Askew!
Askewniverse.
Askewniverse.
Askewniverse Films.
So Clerks 2 came out in 2006.
Wow. Is it the same characters and actors?
Guess so.
So that's Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy,
Dogma,
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, Clerks 2. Alright. Okay, so.
Interesting.
Yep, that was Clerks. Yeah. So, for December, we are going to be doing Christmas movies again, and our first one that month will be Scrooged, which is, I have not seen.
Yeah, I have.
Yep. So, this has been
You Haven't Seen.
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley. Thank you so much for listening. As always, be sure to check us out on iTunes. Rate and review us there. You can also find us on Twitter at YHS_podcast. And you can find us on Tumblr at youhaventseen-podcast.tumblr.com.
Bye.
Bye.